Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pod Diva.
Hello and welcome to Pod Diva. If you're an LGBTQIA plus woman or non-binary person, this is your weekly podcast. I'm Rachel Shelley. If you're looking for fun queer literature, look no further than Lily Linden. Self-proclaimed butch and professional bisexual, Lily is the author of two fabulously funny and best-selling queer rom-coms, Double Booked and the upcoming My Own Worst Enemy. In this lively, energetic and giggly interview with Georgia Dimdore Miles, Lily reveals her love for rivalry, for butchness and for comedy. It's also a masterclass in flirtation. Lily Linden's second novel, My Own Worst Enemy, is published June 8th. And when you finish listening, go out and grab yourself a copy of Diva magazine. Our June issue, which is available from May 26th, features a voices piece from Lily herself talking about butch for butch love.
Pod Diva.
Yes, so My Own Worst Enemy. I'm absolutely loving reading it. I'm laughing
my goodness.
So
Yay.
Much.
That's so nice. I'm glad you've got a copy.
It's so funny. It's just a pleasure. Reading a book so unapologetically centres a butch storyline is such a joy. So firstly, just thank you.
Oh my goodness. That's all I've ever wanted. I'm really glad. It's just quite funny because I think it's only proofs stage at the moment. A lot of people are just like receiving their proofs like this week. I think I'd forgotten that excitement that comes from people actually reading it and letting you know what they're thinking about it. I think you might be one of the first, if I may, butches who has like read it and engaged in it in that way. It's just really fucking exciting to be like, oh my goodness. And also you're, you know, you as a collective term, you're the choir that I want to be preaching to. Like, I literally just wanted this book to be for, obviously I want it to be for everyone and I hope everyone's going to love it. The butch community is not serviced by media at all.
No, it's not.
And so I think if I can only have 5 people who read it, I would want all of them to be little butches, you know? Of course I would. So I'm very glad that you're one of them.
I felt honoured. Well, that's actually kind of what my first question was going to be. It feels just so rare to read fiction, especially a rom-com that centres not one but two butches. Was this important to you?
Imagine if I said no.
No.
Yes, it was.
But I actually...
I guess I thought it would be, you know, commercially successful of me. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, it was just that feeling of like, A, I was looking for books to read that had butch characters in and was sort of finding them, was just like feeling, I think, both like sad and angry about that lack. And then also, obviously, it comes naturally to me, you know, the more about like write what you know. I was writing this last year and I think that it was a time when taking a bit more of an ownership of like my claim to the word butch was kind of happening for me. I think that felt really cool and really nice. And I wanted to have a character who was kind of going on that same journey with me. Just slap me if I'm going off piste, but
no,
I think that when I was first writing it, like the first draft, because of where I was at in my own relationship to that label, the story was much more about a character like wrangling with that identity and label for herself.
Mm.
And actually, through the drafting process and just like through what stuff that was going on in my life, I feel like by the time I'd redrafted and Emmy had changed as a character and May had changed as a character, and actually the story wasn't about like worrying about the label butch anymore. It was it was about like, well, I love being butch, so how am I gonna like show up as that, and how do I now be butch in a world that doesn't know what butch is and what butch means and like how to support butches. So it was really nice to feel like, oh, here's a, I don't know, a character who isn't worried about that, who's proud of that. And it felt really good also for me selfishly as a writer to be able to then actually just like enjoy that and not have, it doesn't have to be about angst, it can just be about like butch joy, dare I say.
Really speaks to where I'm at as well, like gone through that similar journey of coming to the word butch. Literally do feel in that place of just being like, oh my god, I'm so happy that this is my identity.
When you have that self-acceptance, you're not always met with that same acceptance in your career or in your different spheres. Yeah, I didn't want to feel like I was like erasing the challenges, especially in, I suppose, Emmy's particular field, which is as an actor. And I think there is a huge amount of typecasting and of like seeing people as a label. And this is always the duality of a label, right? Is that in some ways it can feel really empowering and it can be a real way into a community and into acceptance and to finding other people who have a similar experience to you. On the other hand, labels can be really difficult in if you're then being marketed in a certain way, or if you then feel like you have to be doing certain things in order to like qualify for that. And especially if those parameters of what you're allowed to be in order to like earn a label are not being set by the community itself. Like, I definitely still feel, oh, should I say this? Yeah, sure. I don't know how you find it at Diva, but I am aware of the honour and pressure of being a writer of queer rom-coms in a really quite small space for queer rom-coms.
Yeah.
And I'm aware of the pressures of the way that things are marketed, the way that things find a readership, the way that things are like talked about in predominantly straight spaces. You know, to me, this book feels like what my mates talk about. This feels like something that queer people, it's not going to come as a surprise to queer people. It's going to, I hope, feel like a mirror up to their friendships and their like mishaps and romps and fun. And that's what I wanted to do. There's always going to be a duality to sort of feeling proud of being someone who is like writing something that maybe isn't spoken about that much, but it's also like quite difficult sometimes. Obviously my dream would be to be like have a full fucking gay publishing house, you know, and to just be like churning them out. That isn't any shade on my publisher, but I think it's it's just that feeling of wanting to do right by a readership that doesn't necessarily have that much stuff written for them. And the balance of also not wanting to like exclude people who are going to love the story because it's like enemies to lovers and because I'm funny and fun. But I don't want to feel like, oh, you can only read this book if you're butch.
You've absolutely preempted my next question.
Forgive me.
You're doing my job for me. It's amazing.
Okay, sorry.
I was going to ask if you felt pressure, but you've answered it.
I think this is something that I suppose I was tapping into with, you know, Emmy, the character, is an actor, and in that profession, there is a sense of having a personal brand that is your unique selling point is really vital, and it's something that, like, you need to have in order to feel like you're cutting through a very competitive capitalist industry. In some ways, I feel aware that writing queer rom-coms and writing ones that have like butch characters and two butch characters that is very rare. In some ways, I'm absolutely leaning into that because of that like originality. I mean, I'm sure it has been done before, but hasn't, you know, been done in a way that has like tapped into, I think, much of a mainstream or anything resembling a mainstream. And again, I'm not even saying that I want to be writing for the mainstream, but I want this to like find a readership who would want it. It can also feel really daunting, but you can't represent every person's experience. Sometimes that can feel a bit scary because I really want people who pick this up and who sort of put their trust in it to be feeling like it's their friends and feeling like it's them. I don't want people to feel like it's not for them, you know? That's just what happens when you write things that are both fictional and true to your own experience, I suppose. Emmy is me and she's obviously not me. So I hope that I get to like write more books that have loads of different queer characters in, so that this doesn't have to be like the one butch character.
Yeah.
Although, what an honor.
This idea of like putting the two butch characters in opposition as rivals and then treading that really blurred line between love and hate is really great to read. Why do you think that's such an interesting dynamic to explore?
Ooh. I mean, enemies to lovers is like one of my favorite rom-com tropes. I think there's just something so delicious about antagonism. Mm. I think it's like obsession. I'm very drawn to that sense of just two people who are special to each other. The opposite of love isn't hate, it's indifference, right? I think I'm quite like drawn to that. I love the drama.
Yeah.
Evidently, that's why I've written a book about gay drama. Actually, like, love and hate in some contexts can be quite blurred, and that sort of sense of someone being passionate about you, I think, is very fun. I don't know if this is, again, another question. As a butch person who fancies butch people, I think there is also like a whole thing of enjoying that feeling of like comparison, but comparison can also be really like scary. And if you fancy someone, it means that you kind of like idolize them and see the best things in them, but that can sometimes make you feel a bit shit about yourself, right? Because I feel like I've done this to people all the time. I mean, it's the classic gay conundrum, like, do I fancy them or do I want to be them? That's the energy that I wanted to like be channeling through this whole book, is like, does this person who has the potential to ruin her life but also is everything she wants to be, of course she loves her, but also she's gonna destroy her life. Like, what could be hotter than that? I just don't. I think it might be a bit worryingly revealing about my own like way of seeing the world, this book. I'll be very tickled if people do relate to parts of it, because I think that whole thing about do I fancy someone or do I want to be them, I was drawn to this sense of having love interests who are both opposites and similar.
Yeah.
To me, that sense of like opposites attract as a trope on the page, I think it really works. And I can see why as a trope it excels and everything. Whenever someone says that to me in real life, I always feel quite suspicious about it, because you also want someone who has a lot of things in common with you. The whole thing about couples ending up turning into each other, even if they don't start that way. You know, like the urge to merge. Someone said to me the other day, dyke alike. Isn't that so good?
So good. I've never heard that.
Me neither. I love it. I wish I'd heard it before I wrote this book. I would definitely have tried to get that in somewhere. For me, I experienced it as something very beautiful and queer, about this sense of like having things deeply in common, accepting your individuality within that. But I think it's something that is true about sort of a lot of relationships, whether it's particularly this one or not, you know, looking for what is different about each other and what is similar about each other. I was drawn to this idea of like magnets, right? Because like someone who's magnetic, and there's like stage magnetism and stuff, you know, sometimes you can have like those two magnets that are repelling each other because they're too similar. They're still magnets, they're still the same, because they have the same kind of force field around them. So I don't know,
it made me so happy that you centered the whole story around do I want to be them or do I want to be with them, because that is just the story of my life.
Truly, and I think it really is for a lot of people, and I think a lot of queer people, you know, whether that then manifests in like your type being your type or not.
That's what I have always said. I'm like, people are like, what's your type? I'm like, well, people that look like me.
Yes.
To date myself.
And isn't that beautiful? Like, I think, isn't that what we should all be aspiring to? Feeling like so self-actualized and happy with ourselves and self-lovey, that we would want to date ourselves, because to us that is the perfect partner, because we're like the perfect partner to ourselves. Beautiful, very Buddhist, I'm into it. Do I think I actually like deliver on that? No, of course not, because I also am aware that like whenever I then do actually meet someone who's like me, I do feel an intense amount of rivalry and self-loathing, because they're better than me. You know, the pleasures and pains of wanting someone who understands you very deeply, but who also in understanding you very deeply might actually be like a better version of you in some ways. And that's great, because it encourages you to grow, or it means you get to like be with someone really hot. I just write my own worst enemy so that I could flirt with people. That is the main reason I wrote it, obviously.
Yeah. I found myself like unable to stop smiling when Emmy and May were like angrily flirting with each other. It felt like really authentic and real. Yeah, I just wondered if like writing that exchange like comes from personal experience at all.
I was so excited when you said that that I pulled my headphones out and my gestures became so flamboyant that I
Pod Diva.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Pod Diva.
I like to think that it's based on real experience. Flirting is one of the great pleasures of my life. It is so funny to me that I get to do that and it's published. I flirt with my imaginary friends and then people read that. It's both very funny and also so sad. I would love to have a flirtation with someone that felt like Emmy and May's. I think this book was wish fulfillment more than it was copy and pasted plagiarism from my own life. Fingers crossed I'm going to manifest it. I would love a rival who really fancied me. So if anyone wants to audition for that part, they should let me know.
Yeah. Your writing is just, I've said it already, so funny. But it feels like quite effortless. Is that something you felt was kind of always come naturally to you?
Oh, thank you so much.
So this interview is just me complimenting you a lot.
Honestly, let's do it every day. I think being funny is like existentially important to me. That means it's great when it works. It's also like terrifying to me that someone might read this and not find it funny. Deeply grateful and pleased that you did feel that. I think it's almost like when I get out of my own way that it's the funniest. I think my books have quite a lot of plot compared with some other rom-coms that I love, or at least with maybe romances where like a lot of the plot comes basically from like the nuance of like their journey, but you always kind of know what's going to happen. For me, the sort of romances and rom-coms that I love are the ones where you genuinely like don't really know what's going to happen in the next scene, and where things can just be a bit unexpected within that kind of knowing that there's going to be a happy ending kind of framework. You know, writing a book is such a weird process because I write a first draft and then I put it away for a bit and then I come back to it and I work very intensely on another redraft, and the book basically changes completely every time I redraft it. And I know for some people, their first draft is much closer to the final book. I really feel like it is a different beast every time I sort of work on it. It means that there are these sort of intense sort of flings with it and then gaps. And so it means that sometimes I'll read it back again and not remember having written things, which is very fun. The bits that I'm always like most pleased at being surprised about are it's those like asides and, you know, the things that make you laugh the most are often when it's just someone being so like them. If there's a character that I feel like I really got to know, it's just funny to talk as if it's not me. I'm like, oh yeah, the characters did this thing. So, well, I made them. I love when books are funny. I think it's so hard. Being funny in like life is also the thing that I value the most in people. It's just like my currency. And so it means that there's a lot of pressure on it for me. And so I think when I can like try to let myself chill out about it, that's probably when it works the best. But it's hard.
Yeah.
It's-
the book also explores how far the TV industry and film industry has to come in terms of like queer representation. I loved the parts of Lesbian 1 and 2 that really made me laugh. yeah, is this like something that's personally important to you to kind of highlight?
I used to do like amateur dramatics. That is a whole Marmite thing, you know? It's very love-hate, people's relationships with acting. I love actors and like a lot of my closest friends are actors. And so I think that having it set in that world felt very natural to me. And it meant that I could sort of get away with characters who do sort of see the world with the same kind of drama that I see in it, that I think a lot of queer people, I think, revel in. And it's something that I really love about both the thespian and the acting and the queer communities. It sort of gave an excuse to put in some of this stuff that I see my friends going through, them auditioning for parts and them having to package themselves in a certain way that they think is going to be the best for their literal careers. Because I was thinking about different kinds of queer identities and labels, for example, with being butch, how it can feel, yeah, a bit like we were talking about earlier, where it can feel so exciting and cool to feel like people see you as a certain thing, you know, to walk down the street and think people are looking at me and seeing butch. That can feel so powerful and beautiful and gorgeous. And then put that in an audition room. Does that still feel the same? I suppose I was aware that I was writing a book about being butch and that I was therefore going to be being asked questions like this about being butch. You know, obviously it feels very different talking to Diva Mag about this. It can sometimes feel really empowering and sometimes a bit othering. I wanted to have a character that experiences that, because a nuance that a lot of queer people go through that I think, because it is quite specific. I feel like your actual question was about like butch characters in the TV. I think we all know that there is a real lack. As usual, it just means that when there are characters, it feels like they are having to sort of try to be ciphers for like every butch experience, and then obviously can't do that. The answer is not to police the characters that are out there, but to try to encourage more and more space for more and more different kinds of characters to be able to be seen. If that means that we get to have like some stud butches, hot, great, I love it. If that also means we get to see more like lame goofballs who also happen to have short hair, great, you know. And when you only have one person in the world that is being seen as, you know, butch, then it's just too much to expect that person to represent every story ever.
Butchness is just so expansive. So many different people are identifying under the umbrella of butch. That's so exciting.
Yeah. And I think there's a real playfulness around it. Like, that's the point we want to be getting to. People have had to fight to reclaim butch for so long, where it has felt antagonistic and like scary and violent to be allowed to be seen as that and allowed to exist and allowed to flourish. It just feels a huge, huge privilege to now be at a point in some very small circles where we get to say, I'm butch, and that means I get to be camp, you know, like how fun to be kind of playing with that
and allowed
to be silly and playful about it. Older generations didn't get to do, because being called butch was like obviously a slur and was a political act to reclaim that. And this is a really exciting moment for that kind of journey and that story. It's associated now with joy and with silliness and with softness and tenderness. The bigger that label can hold, you know, I think that's only going to be a good thing. So that means more people for me to fancy. I started double booked, you know, when I had come out, but I don't know if I'd really internalized a lot of the like self-acceptance or like had really actively got rid of biphobia in as much of a way as I did by the end of writing it. And I think there's something really revealing about writing and then editing your own work and like seeing the stuff that you say as a character. I don't know if this is too airy-fairy of me, but you're more protective of a character than you are about the way that you talk to yourself in your own like interior monologue, you know, and seeing the kinds of criticism or the kinds of things that other characters might come up with, a character that you would not accept in your own life, say. So I guess I'm thinking about in Double Booked, where I really felt, you know, it came from a place of me really feeling like I was living a double life, where I was straight half the time and gay half the time. And that sense of like, I didn't ever feel like gay enough or straight enough. It came out of a place of wanting to explore that because it still felt like quite an urgent question for me. Yeah. And I think that some of the most satisfying writing processes, and I hope best books, come from that place of still questioning something and still wanting to understand something. It wasn't coming from a place of telling people something that I'd learned. It really was me trying to like muddle something out. By the end of it, I felt that I at least understood myself better, and I think had more self-awareness and more like self-compassion. But it was definitely not me being like, I have achieved, you know, butch by like Nirvana and like everyone else should be more like me. Like, absolutely not. I think it was much more coming from a place of like wanting people to feel a bit less alone in their own internalized stuff, and also hopefully have the same kind of protectiveness towards the characters that they maybe don't grant themselves, and to maybe hopefully bring that a bit more to like readers. It really tickles me when people are like, oh, Georgina's got loads of like internalized biphobia at the beginning of Double Booked. I'm like, yeah, I know.
And, weird that.
Who would have thought? And I suppose I just hope that people come to these books with that sense of empathy with the characters, not expecting them to be moral paragons at all, because I really don't think any of us are. But hopefully that, certainly for me, at least writing them, yes, by the end of the process of writing them, and I hope for readers, the process of reading the book will be one of like not feeling like you've solved something, but hopefully, you know, a nice little pat on the head in the meantime. I definitely feel more, I don't know, it's funny because like with My Own Worst Enemy, I'm still so early in the process of that book kind of coming out. Mm-hmm. And certainly where I sit right now is having written it, but not really having heard much from other readers yet. You know, you're one of the first people that I've spoken to about it. It feels very much like I'm at the beginning of those kind of conversations with people, and it's something that I'm like so looking forward to about its publication. I mean, well, fingers crossed that it will be a positive experience. Maybe people will tell me that I've done a terrible job. Hopefully it will like give me an excuse to chat to loads of people about what they did kind of connect to and what they did, you know, see spoken about, either a more like deep way or in a playful way about like, oh my God, I can't believe this dumb thing was in there. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a calling card, right? It's being like, hello, I would love to talk to you about butchness. And it means that like, I get people asking me about it. It means I get to talk to them about it. So yeah. I'm excited to continue to see how that conversation in my own head like changes through publication as well as the process of writing.
Yeah, that's really cool. I hadn't thought about that as part of the process of it actually going out into the world. Is also a part of processing it, like how you feel about it.
Forgive me for being but like it feels very affirming to have people talk to me about like what it's like being butch, because there's like this, oh, so you think I'm butch? It's like, oh, that's so sick. It's I think I still like doubt my claim to the label.
I get that.
And I feel both like very confident in it and a lot of doubt about it. I think because I just idolize it so much, I just think it's such a beautiful word and way of being. it is such an honor that I get to like claim that for myself, and that people might see me as part of that is such a privilege. Because I think when I was writing it, I did a bit like with Double Books, where I was like writing it from a place of having accepted my like bisexuality, but still the old voices were still there. I think with writing a book about like two butches fancying each other, like the stuff about butches are meant to fancy femmes, that is still there. Like, I don't believe it, but it's still there. And the same goes with, you know, do I get to like call myself butch if I am silly? When like, you know, when I think like in my head, you know, butchness, there's such a like dignity and like authority and power, yeah, that can be part of that word. It's still there, like that fear that I'm not butch enough to be writing a book about butches, even yeah, though the book is about like you are.
God, it's so meta.
It is. It's also meta. So basically, I wrote it so that people would think I'm butch.
Yeah, well, you've achieved that.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Thank so you so nice. Much for such lovely
so
questions.
Nice to chat to you. Oh,
yeah,
you're welcome.
And you.
Oh,
yeah,
so
no,
kind.
I appreciate it. I know. You can have very boring questions and you can have very fun ones. So thank you for having such good ones. And thank you for liking the book, obviously. I appreciate
you're
it.
You're very welcome. I don't know if I have any like images.
I want some more author headshots done now that I've got this mullet thing going on.
The mullet's great.
Because I want to... Thank you. You don't need to know this, but... yeah, I really want new author photos. And I just completely forgot about it until... I'm at the point of sending them over to people, and I'm just sending the same ones I had for Double Booked, and that feels sad. Although I am wearing literally the same outfit that I had in that author headshot, so maybe I should just stick with it.
Well, I can mention your mullet if you need.
Yeah, please. I'm begging you. Can you describe me as like Lily, yeah, outrageously hot, fun, very
Lily
eligible bachelor?
Came onto Zoom with the boldest mullet I'd ever seen.
If you could just say how desperately available I am. And
you're very welcome.
Well, thank you again for a lovely, lovely interview.
Oh, thank you. And have you heard about Bristol Butch Bar?
I have. I have not stopped hearing about it.
It's just like every kind of butch you could think about.
Oh my God.
And it's just like you walk into the pub.
Heaven.
And
well, obviously I'm persuaded.
Pod Diva. Thank you for listening to Pod Diva in association with Diva Magazine, the world's leading brand for LGBTQIA+ women and non-binary people. Every week, we bring you new interviews from a vast range of fabulous people, celebrating and amplifying the voices of the LGBTQIA+ community. Browse our extensive back catalogue of episodes to find your favourites, from Jennifer Beals to Abby Jacobson. It's like one gorgeous, glossy magazine in your ear. Please share, rate, or review us. It really does help. You can find us on Acast or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can email me at editorial@diva-magazine.com. Pod Diva. Queers for your ears.
Pod Diva.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.